Hey, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together. We have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2023, Lord willing, we'll make it from Genesis to Leviticus. We're at Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is the story of Moses as being saved. Let's go ahead and have some coffee. We'll pray. We'll get into God's Word. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. You are an amazing God, full of grace and truth. We pray now that you would give us your truth. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, where you have graciously given us your word, and you have given us the story of redemption. We pray, Lord, now that you would help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are at Exodus chapter 2, the first 10 verses. It's not too much for us this morning. Let's go ahead and jump into the word. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. We'll find her name later. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to go get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to these words? So what is this about? Well, the Lord has now allowed his people to go into slavery. It's been 4 centuries of oppression. Pharaoh no longer remembers Joseph and has just ordered infanticide. Kill all the male infants of the Hebrews. But this daughter of, or this son of Levi finds a wife, and they do what husband and wife do, and they have a baby. And she sees that this child is good. The New King James here says he's beautiful, but it's just tov, he's good. She can't bring it. She can't bring herself to do it. And this is her heart going, I can't obey the king's decree. And so she hides him for 3 months. Now, I have 4 children, and I've heard their cries at night. I've heard them scream when they're in pain, or they don't. It's, you know, something's going on with their belly, right? Or they need their diaper change, or they're hungry. For 3 months, she defies the order of the king, hiding this child, this maternal love that is for her boy. And then she realizes this can't go on forever. So I wonder what was going through her mind as she took the reeds and she was weaving them together. making a little ark, making a little boat, covering it with pitch and tar on the inside to make sure that it was water sealed. As she placed that basket, that little boat in the water and put Moses in, I wonder if she said a prayer. As she entrusted this child into God's hands. And the baby floats. Miriam, his older sister, goes along the way. She wants to check on this little baby. And as it goes, just happens. It's so lucky, isn't it? That Pharaoh's daughter is there. And the princess herself is the one who defies the king's command. She sees this baby. She sends one of her ladies over. Go check what that is, right? She goes, it's a baby. Right? This is one of the Hebrew babies. She realizes this is a beautiful child. This is life. And all of a sudden, Miriam shows up out of the reeds. You know, she's, do you want me to go get a Hebrew woman? Right? No. This is pretty normal at this time when there would be adoptions that would happen, but normally because of high infant mortality rates, it'd be 2, maybe 3 years old before a baby was adopted. And so it's pretty normal that you would pay for a wet nurse to take care of the child for 3 years. I'm not sure the Pharaoh's daughter actually knows that this is the little boy's sister and that she's going to go call his mother. There would be plenty of childless women of Israel who had had their children murdered. And so she says, yeah, go get her. She brings her. She says, I'm going to give you your wages. And so God preserves Moses' life in this way. And then in verse 10, right, as the child grew, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. And the boy is weaned when he's old enough. Jochebed, Moses' mother, she takes Moses to Pharaoh's daughter, to the princess, and she hands him over to be a child of the court. And it's Pharaoh's daughter who names him Moses. Where I drew him up out of the water. People argue about how this name could possibly be Egyptian. And they're struggling, right? It doesn't have Mayim in it, which would be water in the Hebrew. Closest in Egyptian, from what I read, is the consonants M and S, so Min and Shin. But that would be just... son, it wouldn't be drawing him up out of the water. So people still try to figure it out. Maybe we just don't know enough ancient Egyptian. I know I certainly don't. But the point is, right, what's all this getting at? God has a plan for this boy. God is providentially preserving this child. Now he does it in an amazing way through the courageous action of his mother. But the Lord has a sense of irony to many stories. People try to oppress and stop the promises of God. And what does God do? He subverts the promise. He subverts their efforts. And Pharaoh is super worried about, there's a huge army. They don't have a commander. They don't have an organized force. And then God puts somebody in his own household to be trained from the Hebrews. What's this about? This is God still remembering this. And even in their affliction, God's still having a plan for it. These aren't random events. They're not just lucky. Right? But God is watching out over this. What's the best verse to summarize all this? Well, I have a few things underlined here. I have, she hid him for 3 months, underlined. I also had, in verse 6, the second half, so she had compassion on him. And then I have verse 10 underlined, that she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. So I think that those three things kind of get at the heart of the story, but you let me know down in the comments. Go ahead and write it out and let me know. Last seek calling. What are we called to do? Well, I think one of them is to see, right, there ought to be a natural affection that mothers have for their children. Right, this is just low-hanging fruit, right? We see Moses' mother, Jochebed, she cares for her son so much so that she would be willing to hide him for 3 months, defying the king's orders. Right? We ought to love our children. But even beyond that, we see this beautiful picture of Pharaoh's daughter loving and crying child. Right? Jesus himself brings a child into the midst of the disciples when they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And he says, such, or the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as one of these, this little child. We ought to value the life and well-being of children. But the entire story has a gray shadow, a black shadow cast all over it of this order of genocidal infanticide. Right, wipe out all the Hebrew boys, right? Let's get rid of their whole, let's get rid of their population, let's limit their numbers, let's kill the children. This is why the story of Jesus is so dark. Right, that Herod has that same heart of murder, wanting to hold on to power, that he would kill all the children 2 years and under in the little village of Bethlehem. Isn't it interesting that the stories are parallel? One would come up to be the redeemer of God's people out of Egypt, and one would be the redeemer of God's people in the most true sense. A better prophet than Moses, a better redeemer than Moses. What else are we called to here? Well, this is where I'm going to get you and push you to the theological point. Trust in God's promises. Often in our lives, it's going to take moral courage for us to do the things that we need to do, even as this world might press in on us and it might be difficult for us. Do not give up on trusting in God. Cling to his promises. Remember his goodness. Know that he hears you. Know that he loves you. There might be difficult things going on, but this is the model that we find time and time and time again in the scriptures, is that there might be suffering for God's people, and that's real. But he has a redemptive purpose at the end of it. So we don't just say, oh, you know, God, bring on the suffering. No, it's not that we want the suffering, but we know that God has a purpose to it. There's an architect of the story, even though people are evil. And so we can trust in him and rest in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the hope that you have given us in who you are, what you have promised, and showing us the ways in which you work in history. Father, we pray that you would please help us to walk in your ways. Please, Lord, help us to trust in your promises. Father, we pray that we would love you, that we would truly know that all your plans for us are for our good, not to harm us, but to prosper us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your care for us. Help us, Lord, in the dark hours of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you. May you walk in the joy and peace of Jesus Christ. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.